Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
Accepting yourself just as you are. With this body, with this appearance, these behaviors, these life circumstances, the most reassuring lines from the Zen tradition was written by Zen Master Dogen. And it goes like this: to be in harmony with the oneness of things is to be without anxiety about imperfection. Now, I love this teaching because it assumes imperfection. It assumes that these bodies and minds will be reactive, that will grasp and get attached, and that will be angry at times and fearful, and that will even hurt the beings that we love the most out of our fear and our confusion. It assumes imperfection and says what matters is, how do we relate to that? But when we feel deficient, and when we're aware of that deficiency, there's a real sense of shame, and that shame ties us up in knots. And it gives rise to the most profound sense of self-aversion. And what this means is that for awakening beings of our time, people on the spiritual path, that paying attention to shame, paying attention to self-aversion, is a necessary gateway for awakening. It's not something to get rid of. Rather, the way we pay attention to self-aversion is actually the ground of the path. Not just simply without anxiety, accepting yourself just as you are.
Welcome, everyone, to America Meditating Radio. That was Tara Brach on Monique Rhodes' Heartbeat album, one of my all-time favorites. We're broadcasting live from the Meditation Museum in downtown Silver Spring, and if you happen to be in town or passing through, please pop over. It's open from 11 to 6. Coming up on Monday, March 12th, it's my birthday. I'll have the amazing Carolyn Mace with us at 6:30 until about 8:30 here. She's going to be chiming in remotely, and we're going to be talking about the power of words. Is there a particular word that you could live without? And if you were to take that word out of your vocabulary, how much it would change your life? I was at WPFW the other day with Lona Elias, who does the Spirit of Jazz show, and for International Women's Day, she was doing Empower Me. And Lona and I talked about what is that one word that we would extricate from our vocabulary, and mine was I. And I told her how challenging that was to remove the word I. You know, that I that has the motive or the intention of ego and attachment connected to it, and how it shifts the interpretation of everything that we do. So I would replace the word with I with Baba, that, you know, Baba is this divine energy, the divine being. Baba, what would you do? Well, Baba, what did you just do? Well, Baba did this, and it just shifted everything for me. So what is your one word that you would change for your own life? And if you'd like to know more, come and join us on Monday, March the 12th, 6:30 to 8:30. I know that the seats are just about almost filled. I can't begin to tell you how I feel about what's going on at this museum. You know, last year alone, 256 events, and just about all of them were almost sold out. There are 365 days in a year, folks. Just think about the work that's happening. So it's a moving energy. It's a moving space. And for it to be in the nation's capital, no joke, to say the least, no joke. But we are ready for a time for healing, for a time for awakening, and for me, a time to return to a deep sense of sincerity and honesty with my own thoughts, feelings, and just the way that I show up in the world. It's not to say that I've been dishonest and not sincere. Please don't get me wrong. I mean, we're all a work in progress. But I have to tell you, you know, those opening days when that awakening happened for you, and you had no idea what 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years looked for you in your future. You just knew that what you were feeling as a woman especially, it was divine and it was pure and it was real. And it felt like, you know, when the light cracks into the darkness, you know, like that light just cracks right in, that just comes right in. It found the crack in the soul and it just illuminated your being. And you were like, wow, what was I doing? What was I thinking here? This isn't me. And so you kept feeding that light more and more and more. And halfway along the way, the light starts to mix a little bit with the darkness, but you're not really sure. And you start to mix it, and then you're kind of struggling with staying awake because maybe 80 or 90% of your friends are still kind of sleeping and they look like they're having a great time. While you're there like, no, I've got to stay awakened here. I'm kind of pretty sure of what's going on. So now that we're in this age where deception is at an all-time high, many of us are really getting signal. It's time for my illumination. I can't allow the darkness to keep me hostage anymore. The ego, the anger, the lust, the attachment, the jealousy, the greed, the judgment, the criticism, the blame, the shame, the competition, all of that is what we would call a lower wattage, a lower vibration, the I that is the ego. And so we're at a very pivotal moment, consciously, emotionally, physically, personally, where we either choose the light over the darkness or just decide, let me just give my whole being over to the dark and accept whatever the outcome is. Don't change the dial. We're going to be having a heart-to-heart with Tara Brach, who you just heard at the early part of the meditation. So don't change the dial.
Are you stressed, frustrated, or annoyed at work? You don't have to be. Soothe your mind and open your heart as Sister Jenna guides you through a peaceful, calming meditation that will prepare you to focus, be present, and most importantly, bring you back to your inner peace.
The Azar Foundation for Children of the World supports organizations by providing funding for programs that enrich the lives of women and children through empowerment, health, and education. We proudly support the work of ARCO Iris America, which has served more than 30,000 homeless children through social programs in Bolivia. For more information, visit our website at azar4children.org. That's A-Z-A-R, four children.org, to find out more about our endeavors. Remember, the smile and the cry of a child doesn't have any language.
Jetsmarter.com. I hope you get it. Are you ready to travel smart? Imagine, no more TSA, no more long lines, no more waiting and shoving and being pat down or even getting seated in the middle. You too can begin to enjoy a royal and peace-filled way of travel with folks on the move doing good in our world. America Meditating Radio is pleased to partner with JetSmarter as we take traveling to a whole new level. All you have to do is call 888-VIP-JET and tell them Sister Jen is set to call you and use the code AMJET for specials. Join me on JetSmarter.com today and let's make 2018 great.
Welcome back. That was Kristen Hoffman, Love and Gratitude. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. Today we have the privilege to welcome Tara Brock. Tara has been practicing and teaching meditation since 1975, as well as offering workshops and leading meditation retreats in the United States and Europe. She's a clinical psychologist and the founder of the Insight Meditation Community of Washington, D.C., which is now one of the largest and most dynamic non-residential meditation centers in the United States. Tara's teachings blend Western psychology and Eastern spiritual practices, mindful attention to our inner life, and a full compassionate engagement with our world. She has fostered efforts to bring principles and practices of mindfulness to issues of racial injustice, equity, inclusivity, peace, environmental sustainability, as well as to prisons and schools. She and Jack Cornfield have co-founded the Awareness Training Institute, which offers online courses on mindfulness and compassion, as well as mindfulness meditation teacher certification program. You get an idea of who we're about to have a heart-to-heart conversation with. Today, we're honored to welcome Tara Brack to America Meditating Radio. Hi, my beloved sister. Do you know how long I've been trying to get you on air?
It is a pleasure to make it finally happen. I'm so glad we're together in it. Yeah.
You know, you're supposed to be in meditation and always free and available. What is wrong with you?
I'm immersed in meditation and I'm free. I'm just not always available. And I'm being silly, but you're right around the corner. Here we are in the same region.
Isn't that something? Well, we have to hold up this region, which definitely is ready for more mindfulness and light, isn't it?
And it's bursting forth. Here we are in pre-spring, and it is happening.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's a powerful time. You and Jack Cornfield are leading a mindfulness meditation program through UC Berkeley, Greater Good Science Centers, which sounds really amazing. Could you tell our listeners a little bit more about it, and perhaps how could they even get involved with it more, if there's room for that?
Sure. Yeah, we're really excited about it. It's pretty much one of these major life projects. We've both been offering teacher trainings for a long time, but this is the first that with the kind of design that really allows people. We have a cohort now doing it from 20 different countries. So it's online combined with a couple of live long weekends. And it's what we're excited about. It's a secular program and deeply spiritual. And in contrast to other teacher trainings, we really delve into how to bring mindfulness and compassion into relationships, how to work with trauma, how it can be the underpinnings of true activism, social activism. So it's a very, it's juicy. It's juicy. And we have an amazing group of mentors, so that there's a lot of contact with peers and with mentors and people in it now. Part of what they love is they have an international community of fellow teachers and training that they're, you know, and some of them are teaching together. And we are really thrilled that this is in motion.
Mm-hmm. I'd be too, because the times that we've been witnessing in the last, I always say since 9/11, America has been really going through a real confluence shift. And I would say perhaps the last 2 years, we've been going through God knows what kind of shift. But speaking from your experience of being in this region for so long, to what extent is the mindfulness work really, really needed at this time?
Well, first of all, I'd say I'm with you. I feel like things are speeding up. Whatever the patterning is, in an evolutionary way, it's speeding up. And by that, I mean we are literally physically speeding, and, you know, our thoughts are more obsessed. There's more polarization. There's more conflict. So in a way, there's a lot of psychological suffering and stress, and simultaneously, the more evolved, most recently developed part of our brain is really cooking, because people are turning to mindfulness training. And when I say mindfulness, you know, in the Chinese script, the word for mindfulness is present heart, which I love, because mindfulness makes it sound like it has to do with just mind, and it's really the awakening of heart and mind. So people, as much as things are speeding up and getting stressed and polarized, I'm just seeing a dramatic increase, especially in the last 2 years and also in the last 10 years, of people on purpose turning to practices that help train their hearts and minds to wake up. So that's, to me, the encouraging news. I feel like there's something in us, some deep intelligence in us that's really hitting all sectors, all classes, that says, wake up, you know, there's suffering and there's a way to move through it by really learning to pay attention. So that encourages me.
You know, you and I are in the midst of an interesting climate. No matter how many states you travel to, you can feel the vibe is different in every land, no doubt. You go to Europe, you go to Africa, you go to India, you go to China, you come back to Washington, D.C., and there's no other vibe like this. For me, and I love it. I love the place because it tests and challenges me to stay authentic and true to this call. If I can't face, you know, the eyes of the dragon or the lion or whatever it might be and find out what is really sitting in me, how will I ever know? And for me, being here helps me to see what's really at my base as a person, as a soul. So here we are, what I would say, in the jaws of the lion, right? The political climate is unlike we've ever witnessed before as Americans. And it's very easy in Washington to point out all that's wrong. But tell us about something that you find is encouraging at this moment. And what are you seeing out there that may not be reported in the news right now that the world needs to hear about?
Well, one very immediate example that comes to mind is that this last fall, I did a 7-week intro class on Capitol Hill to the Senate. And it was there on Capitol Hill and also live streamed not just to the offices in the Senate, but Senate offices around the country. And it was requested. So, you know, we were invited in to do it. And we've got Jack Kornfield and I put together a 40-day course, 15 minutes a day, to give anybody that wants to a basic practice in mindfulness and compassion. And they have now full access to that. So I'm just sharing that the fact that there is even right in the kind of place where there's probably the psyches that are most caught in othering, you know, in making bad others and adversarial and so on, there's something waking up that says, wait a minute, this stress is an indicator. There's some, you know, the phrase that our sickness is homesickness. There's something, we're far from home. That's even in the Senate. And then, you know, we were asked to teach in the Superior Court and did training there and have offered some for the House of Representatives. And so I guess, Sister Jenna, that's like, this is good news that yesterday my husband was with the staff at the National Security Council teaching mindfulness. So even with all that's happening, there is a hunger and a receptivity that is astonishing. And when you ask, like, what else isn't in the news as much, I'm seeing that the more that there is really a dramatic kind of proliferation of injustice and antagonism and so on, the other side of it is that those that have been social activists for a long time are getting together with those that have been more specifically spiritually oriented, and those that have been sitting on the cushion are realizing we need to act, and those that are acting, that are, you know, progressive activists, are saying, wait, we need to ground this in spirituality. So there's a coming together that I haven't seen before. And one of our teachers from Insight Meditation Community of Washington got together with a Unitarian minister who's very social, much a social activist, and they led a training for people that wanted to move forward in activism, but do it from a place not of blame and antagonism, but a place of how can we deepen our capacity to see each other and to include each other in our hearts. And I see that same kind of spiritually based activism cropping up everywhere. There's a couple of examples that have really inspired me, and one is Revolutionary Love Movement that Valerie Carr, who's a Sikh woman, has started. And it's the same sentiment that if we want to transform our world, it's going to come from embracing each other, not from making others into the enemy. The same thing with Van Jones in Love Army.
That's I love his work. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Marianne Williamson. She's also on a love too.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is what's not as much highlighted in the news, and yet this is what's taking root and unfolding that's really the counterpoint to what so many of us are appalled by, and that's good news.
I agree with you on that, and I think that when people can hear that there are folks in positions of power that are really going, I don't know if my conscience can take any more. What I feel when I sometimes catch up with the news, Tara, it's as if I can feel their conscience aching and reaching a tipping point, leaders up on the Hill, as if they can't go one more day carrying this level of deception that they're witnessing for themselves, for their political party, and then, of course, for the country and the people that they're here to serve. And so I feel it's like a conscience cleaning that's taking place. You're either going to clean out your conscience with some real truthful dialogue, or you're going to totally kill your spirit, which you won't even know anymore who you are or where you need to go. A lot of gun violence. Right, is going on. It's been going on in the country for a while, but within the last year or so, we've been getting an amplification of senseless acts of gun violence. And last I heard, I was in India at the time, that I don't know if it's true. I haven't been able to keep up as fast as the news is coming out. But there's a request for teachers to begin to carry their guns in schools. You know, meditation, guns for meditation, geez, that's what I think they should do. It's like, you know, replace your guns with meditation in school. So there have been stories of schools replacing detention with mindfulness meditation. And there's a lot of great results. And the children are also changing. Is this an area that you're very optimistic about, teaching mindfulness to children? And do you have school teachers that are also now in your program?
Yes and yes.
Okay, good. Good news.
I am optimistic about teaching children to the extent that I'm very involved in local in D.C. Minds is the name of the group that has, you know, trained more than 10,000 students from, you know, 30 some schools around the area, and it's wonderful work. I mean, it's bringing it to children. I mean, really, it's to me, it's the hope of the future, because if we can, you know, train this next generation to know how to pause, know how to slow down and pause and check in and become more emotionally intelligent and be able to relate to each other with more presence, oh, my gosh. I mean, it's like the Dalai Lama said, if every 8-year-old is taught meditation, we will eliminate violence from the world within one generation.
I love that one.
And, you know, I've been in touch with so many of the kids and a lot of the teens that have been through these programs. I remember one teen telling me how she's worked with her anger, and she said, now when I get angry, I can say, anger's arising. I am not my anger. I mean, that is a shift in consciousness, to not be carried away by not get the limbic hijack, but to recognize, oh,
right,
this is happening. I don't have to be taken over. And there's a reduction in bullying wherever there's classes in mindfulness in schools. And yeah, so I am very excited about what's going on, and this is around the country. And we have a number of school teachers in our program. We have a number of teacher people that are doing the program and already teaching in schools meditation, and those that want to be. So that's one of the primary areas I'm seeing that's incredibly fertile and with lots of potential.
Can I take us on a kind of a personal journey? It's been, 25, 30 years for you, perhaps maybe your whole life. Share with our listeners those moments when you're like, what in the world am I doing? I've been doing this mindfulness meditation bit for like 30 years, and I'm still getting a little bit peeved. You know, I still get a little scared at times. Or sometimes you just wonder, really, what is the destination towards all of this? Is there a result, a final result, so to speak? I'll tell you why I'm asking. I woke up one day, maybe about 15 years on my journey, and I thought about the Buddha, dying on the tree with a smile. I thought about Muhammad. I thought about Jesus being crucified on the cross. I thought about all the prophets and the seers throughout history. And I said to God, you know, I said, you know, after all of that effort, what did they achieve? And is the path really I'm supposed to die with a smile on my face? And I got this most profound response. And he says, no, your path of enlightenment is the way you treat people in your every moment and the way you treat yourself. That's your final destination. And it hit me so strongly because I was recalling everything that I was doing was to get to a final stage of spiritual empowerment. So, yeah, right? So my thought to you is like, yeah, so whilst you've been on your journey, share with us a little bit of those real-time moments that you've been through, and yet you still know this is it. This is right for me. This is where I belong.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the early days, I was really trying to get somewhere. I had this idea that in, you know, 8 years, if I worked really hard, then I'd be liberated. And I used to go around and ask different teachers, well, what else should I do to, you know, like really, you know, shine up the psyche and consciousness? And to a T, Sister Jenna, to a T, this is every one of them would look at me and say, just relax. And then I go, okay, I'm going to relax. You know, and that become my next sadhana, my next process. So, but I think over time, you know, that my big challenge was what I have called the trance of unworthiness, which is the sense that I'm not there yet, something's wrong with me, and I've got to get better. And over time, and I think the biggest, what most helped me was just really getting the, in a very deep way, the process of self-compassion, of really being able to put my hand on my heart and say, it's okay, sweetheart, you know, it's okay. And have that be very, very deep. And it began to relax some of that striving, like I was, that fundamental belief, something's wrong with me. You know, it started to relax that until, you know, when self-compassion goes deep enough, there's a shift in identity. And rather than being the bad self trying to get somewhere, it was just a sense of a field of tender compassion that's holding this life and holding each other. And so I'd say over the years, more and more, there's a sense of resting more in that. Not when the thoughts come up that something's wrong and I need to do something more, I don't believe them so much. There's more of a resting in something beyond that identity. And what that has done is it's made it very clear that all there is right now, this moment, here we are, you and I feeling, you know, when we, our minds are a little bit more spacious, that sense of just caring, honoring and loving the beingness that we sense in each other, really caring about our world, and then living our life out of that loving presence, rather than believing we're on our way somewhere else.
And what a release that was for us, huh? Remember, it was like, you know, you had to get somewhere. You had to be perfect. My first 4 years, it was like I walked it, I dressed it, I spoke it. Hi, Shanti. You know, it's like you had all of the external things. And I'll never forget Tara. I sat in the meditation room and I called God Baba and I said, Baba, I'm not what they think I am. You know, people are falling behind me like flies and all of that. And I said, but I'm not what they think I am. And the echo came, I don't need you to be perfect. I just want you to be honest with yourself. And that release, you know, I tried to communicate that to everyone else who was a colleague or who was with me on the journey or coming on the journey. And they would look at me like, no, I need you to be my perfect pillar. So that I can say that I'm spiritual. And I would look at them and go, sorry, you signed up for the wrong person. I'm going to show you a truthful journey towards your whatever your enlightenment is. And I can't begin to tell you how liberating and authentic that has been. And I suspect it's been the same for you, too.
I love what you're saying, dear, because there's no freedom in being in a role.
You know? Yeah.
And it's so easy to put ourselves in a very subtle way as below or above. I mean, I feel like the trance of unworthiness is absolutely very quickly goes into the trance of specialness, important personhood, you know, and of course that happens. I mean, I to this day can, you know, get caught in trance and get small and in some way think either I'm doing something wrong or I'm special. But as soon as that starts, you know, tightening in its grips, there's suffering and there's, oh, of course, you know. And then with self-compassion and presence and honesty, as you say, because that's honestly, really, yeah. That cuts right through, there's a relaxing back. And I would say if there's any words that describe my practice now, it's more of a kind of relaxing back into naturalness that's not a person that's better or worse, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's a big revelation, because it was always as if we were still putting in all of our acquired skills into our spiritual enlightenment, and we just could sense that there wasn't something completely, absolutely true in that area. I want to talk about your wonderful many guests. I can't even believe you don't have me on it, but that's another thing we'll talk about later. But you...
We're not done, yeah. By the way. This is we're just so you know,
it's
sweetie.
Just
we're just building this thing. I mean, each year we're going to be bringing in more voices and so on. So don't lose
it's
hope.
It's fantastic. Well, I'm going to be crossing my fingers because listen to this, everyone. Tara has got guests affiliated with the certification program that has got Eckhart Tolle, Deepak Chopra, Dan Siegel, Congressman Tim Ryan, who's an incredible hero of ours. What do you hope for folks to take away from the training? Because a lot of people have different interpretations of meditation, and I always tell them, look around, you know, until it fits right for you. So what can they look forward to in terms of this training?
Sure. You know, I just taught a conference on radical love out in Seattle, Washington. We had like, you know, 500 some people there, and a number of people got whiff of this program, and they were saying, you know, this is it, this is what I want. And I started asking, well, what is it that you're hoping for in doing a teacher training? Because it really is, it's not a match for everyone. This is, the people that I think will get the most from it are those that are completely on for deepening on their own path, because really we teach from the radiance of our own realization. And so that's a piece. If it's a credential, it's not going to work. If it's because, oh, Eckhart Tolle, you know, that's not going to work. It's really a passion and devotion towards our own waking up. And what people will get from it is more awakening. That's one piece. Also, the skills in being able to articulate the teachings that we cherish and the practices that we cherish and be able to guide others in it. And this is a secular program, and we're really training people to be very flexible in the sense of being able to respond to different needs in different individuals and in different populations, and this understanding that you can't separate training people in mindfulness and heartfulness from really attuning people to how they are in the world, that we're not doing this just to be on a cushion. We're doing this so we can realize that this world, we belong to it. It belongs to us, and to serve that. So people can look forward to getting a kind of a deep training in how to help each other wake up in that way. And for some people, it'll be in a more classic, I want to teach classes to the lay, you know, to the general public. Others are going to be doing it already where they're working, that kind of thing. They'll come out of it with a network of friends, what we call Sangha or community, that's global. And also, because people are doing it in clusters from certain geographies, also for many, also local. So that's just a little bit of a smattering of what I imagine, what I'm hearing from those that are in the current cohort and those that will be in the next one.
Can I tell you one of the things that I've been finding of great value, which I think is a need, is a very deep sense of community that has a level of trust, honesty, openness, and authenticity with it. And I have observed individuals really, really moving more towards being very selective in terms of the community that they wish to invest their energy in, with the perhaps the intent that this supports my truth. It supports, you know, the deepest core beliefs that I have. So would you say that that's what the certification program also attracts, are people within that mindset of vibration and intent?
You have to be pretty sincerely dedicated to waking up and sharing awakening to be part of this program. It's demanding, and, you know, it takes an investment. And so there's some criteria to get in that some will have to spend some more years, you know, practicing to get in terms of having done, you know, week-long silent retreat and so on. So, yes, it's a group, our community, that are pretty awake and committed to continuing to awaken, which makes it really juicy, makes it really alive.
Congratulations to that. Where can our listeners find out more information about the Mindfulness Meditation Program, and when are you coming to the Meditation Museum to conduct one of your incredible ideas and workshops and presents?
You're putting me on the spot, sweetie. I am in the thick of writing right now, and so I've actually been holing up. I live across the river from you, and I've been like in immersion in writing. But when I peep my head up again to do more, so to find out more about the program, I think the simplest way is probably go to my website, which is tarabrock.com, and it's right on the top right on the home page. You could also go to Sounds True, which produced the program, but then you have to do more searching to get to it. So I would say the top right will give you a button to go right to all the information on the program. And something that people often ask me, because there's a lot of times that people say, well, you know, I really don't envision myself as doing what you do, you know, getting in front of groups and so on. We have people from all walks in the current cohort, and it's very interesting to me how it's worked out. I mean, we have attorneys and coaches and, you know, doctors and other health professionals and tons of therapists, as you can imagine, educators and so on. Many of them are doing it, as I mentioned, because they want to wake up more of themselves and they want to bring it into the workplace. They want to bring it where they are and have basic principles of mindfulness and heartfulness really inform their workplace. We have business executives that want to really, from, you know, change the culture of where they work. So that's part of what's really exciting and inspiring me, that there are many different ways to share meditation, and it doesn't have to be in the formal role of meditation teacher in front of a group of whatever, but there's therapists that are going to be building it into their psychotherapy. You can do it in many different ways. So it's wide open door in that way.
I'm so glad to hear that, because I think right now people are just really wanting to also be in the comfort of their own space, but they just need a great guide. And you are a great guide. And thank you so much for breaking into your writing routine and joining us on the air. I so appreciate it. And I can't wait for us to really meet eye to eye. I know it'll be a very special moment.
Well, Sister Jenna, I wanted to say that your work is wonderful. And you know, I can feel from the nation's capital rippling out your good, bright, honest heart. So thank you for what you're doing. And we will meet, I know.
Many blessings and lots of good wishes.
Thank you, thank you. To you too and to all who are listening.
Definitely. Take care. Bye-bye. So that was Tara Brock, everyone. A light in the nation's capital, holding up something very beautiful and genuine. I think when you can take your body of light into the walls of the hill and Capitol Hill and still come out ignited. It speaks volumes, and it's just a time. I think our older brothers and sisters on the planet are going to be serving our younger brothers and sisters. No one's at fault. No one's to be blamed for anything that they're going through. It's what it is. However, it seems as if my call, just as Tara is doing, she's responding to her call to offer mindfulness, reflection, to be present, to be now, and to listen. Something she said about paying attention. That's all you need to do. Tara says, just pay attention. And that'll really move you into what it really means to be mindful. When you're walking, eating, working, and doing what you've got to do. I hope you've enjoyed my chit-chat with the great Tara Brach. If you'd like some more information on her, just go to her website, tarabrach.com. She's got a wonderful mindfulness teacher certification program that's going on, and definitely I want to keep up on that one to learn more about its great work. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are here to love each other the same. So let's do that. Take care, and here is, let's see who we're going to play today. How about if we ended today with the amazing, let's go with Vanessa Williams, Colors of the Wind. Take care, everyone.
Has a spirit.